All right. Welcome, everybody, to another weekly Tuesday REI Vault Huddle Call. Today is Tuesday, November 18th, 2014. Excited to have all of you, those that are here on this call live, and then those that are actually listening in the recording. Excited to have you. Mr. Chris Chico, you're on, correct?
Yes, I am.
Great. This is we've changed the format a few weeks ago. I noticed a few people are, I see that you've joined, you're either fairly new to REI Vault. Changed the format a little bit. We're trying to make these informal, where everybody can ask questions and participate. So you can ask your question. You can always, we're going to unmute the line. If you've got any background noise, if you got dogs barking, we do ask that maybe you can mute your own line, just to try to keep, but we are going to unmute and you can ask questions. We really like these things informal. If you've got a question, you know, ask it. You know, Chris and I are here to help and on trends, what you're struggling with, if you've got a deal issue, if you've got, you know, something with marketing, you have a question, if we can't answer it, we'll try to direct you or have you work offline. But this is the forum, and we're all here to, you know, do this business, make money, grow, scale, and, you know, ultimately have a team involved. So it's not just us doing all the work. We don't want to swap hours for money. But, you know, we are here to help. So, Chris, why don't we, real quickly, if we have any updates, I'm gonna share a couple quick updates with everybody. There are a couple of videos that have been added to the member site at reivault.com. There's a section called Direct Mail where you can actually see the postcards and the letters and the campaigns. That's new, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about some new marketing pieces that are in the process of being added. I'm going to talk a little bit about that here momentarily. But also for those of you that are working the hang-ups, we are finding conversion of these hang-ups. So I would strongly encourage all of you to get on the hang-ups. You know, about 50% of the people that call and show up in Podio are hang-ups, and you want to get on those leads quickly. There is a way when those leads come in, usually the recording is, I don't know, 10 seconds long, and it is a hang-up. You can actually, sometimes about 50 to 60% of the time, you'll see the person's name, of course, and the phone number that they are using to call you. And there is a way to look up that name and find the property address, and there's a video under the Podio section under seller leads. On how you can do that. You'd actually learn how to log into Sales Team Live, type in the person's last name, and you may find all kinds of interesting information about the property. Allows you to have a little bit more credibility when you talk to the seller. You know, you call a hang up and you say, gosh, is this Mary Brown? And were you calling about a note that you received in the mail or possibly the property at 123 Main Street that you were thinking of selling? It just creates more credibility so that you can have a respectable conversation and convert them into a lead. So we recorded about a 7-minute video. I think it would be helpful. You can go ahead and watch that. That's up there. Last thing I'm going to have on a couple of updates. Chris and I, primarily Chris, has been working on a couple of new marketing pieces that we're in the process, and there's nothing that you actually need to do. We're in the process of upgrading everybody's marketing with these pieces over the next couple of weeks. So don't ask about it. It'll happen. We will make some announcements to everybody as they happen. But all this is really continuously getting the marketing, you know, improved so that we get better responses, better conversions. Let me walk through a couple of those marketing pieces. We have the pre-sale letter that we send out, which is a 7-page FedEx-looking envelope. You talk to a seller, they're not ready to sell, make them an offer anyway. And you click a little button in Podio, send STL pre-sale offer letters. And then what really really is happening is a pre-sale letter will go out typically, you know, within a couple of days. We're mailing those on a weekly basis right now. That'll usually go out. 14 days later, there's an automatic task that is created for you in Podio for you to follow up on that offer letter that you sent them. And then 30 days later, there's a follow-up letter, number one, and then at 60 days, follow-up letter number two, and then 90 days, follow-up letter three. And what we've done is Chris has actually edited and created new follow-up letters to these pre-sell, and they're really good. It's a follow-up letter that says, hey, Mr. Seller, you know, we're just contacting you. We sent you an offer for $100,000 or whatever we sent them, and we're still interested, but it's written to get them to call about that follow-up. So if they haven't actually signed the contract, it's a way to keep in front of them so that we can get them converted. And so there's three of those. Those are new. They're being rolled out right now. And there's a couple of new postcards that Chris has created. As soon as we have this all kind of worked out for everybody, we'll be doing another webinar on some of those pieces, and so you can see them. So don't ask about them yet. I just wanted to give you an update. That's happening in November and probably the first and second week of December. So some incremental improvements. And again, we'll announce, you will all see a video from us over the next couple of weeks when we're actually rolling it out to everybody. With that, Chris, anything else you want to add in terms of some updates? And we'll open up the line.
Just a comment about those particular mailing pieces you mentioned, the new postcards. Those are all, they're postcards that I've been using in our local markets. So they're postcards that we've tested, have gotten good results, and now we're rolling them out. So anything we roll out is always things that we've tested on our end, and we found that it works, produces results, and then now we then share it with you guys. And of course, none of the materials, none of these postcards are in any of my course material that somebody may come online and sell. So you'll be sending something that is different than anybody else is sending out there.
Yep.
And then the other question, the other quick comment about the follow-up letters to the pre-sale, you know, obviously the pre-sale, we've made an offer to the customer. And so the follow-up letters also mention that, hey, if the number that we sent you is not for you, sometimes we are able to go back to our funding sources and get and adjust our offer. So it does, you know, basically say to them, hey, you know, we're open to having a dialogue with you about this price and this offer because we're interested. We're still interested. So it kind of leaves the door open for them to be able to call and at least to begin a dialogue with you. So those are the only two things that I was going to mention. And, you know, they work. The last thing is we closed the deal last week, Friday, I think officially closed, or maybe Monday. And it came directly from a pre-sale letter that we sent out. Customer signed the document, sent it back to us, and then we were able to sell the property and make some money from it. So that's a good thing. So always encourage you guys to send those pre-sales. And the one thing about the pre-sale, and I'm not sure if you mentioned it on the call last, or maybe I thought we did because Gary and I had a conversation with someone else about it. You know, the pre-sale by itself doesn't work. It's the pre-sale combined with follow-up and using the phone. So it shouldn't be that you look at the pre-sale as, hey, I'm going to send out the pre-sale and do nothing else, and you know, things will magically appear on my mailbox from sellers that are looking to sell. You might get lucky, might get, you know, a couple like that, but the majority of them really, you need to also follow up with them over the phone and continue to have that conversation. So it's a combination of them receiving that package, you following up with them, them getting the follow-up letters, and you continuing to try to get continue to that dialogue with them. That's going to make that work for you.
Yeah, you know, just to add to that, Chris, the one that we closed on Friday. We got wire transfer for our profits came in on from the title company on Monday. But this was a deal where lady wanted $100,000. And we offered her $60,000, and she hung up. Literally huffed and puffed and then slammed the phone down. And we sent her a pre-sale for $60,000. And the team actually, we talked about this. This is where do not assume anything about these sellers. Chris has said that over and over again. But we actually in this scenario, the lady actually 3 weeks later sent the pre-sale back in the envelope signed. And we did not talk to her. She was actually not followed up on, which is, not what we, it's not the best practice. We should have called her, but she actually did send the letter back, got on the phone with her, and she apologized. She actually said, "Hey, I apologize. I was kind of in a bad mood and, thought about it. I really appreciate your professionalism, and I'm ready to sell, and let's go." And so that's the way it worked. You really should track the numbers. If you're doing this thing right, one out of seven, maybe one out of 10 of these pre-sales should convert into a deal, and possibly even higher if you're doing it right with the right phone follow-up. I'd be calling these sellers. Everybody that's a yes, maybe someday, I call them yes, maybe somedays, because if you're never going to buy a property, you can just click remove from mail, remove from STL mail, and get them off so you don't send them any more mail. That should be a low percentage of these deals. The yes, someday, maybe means somebody that has a heartbeat and there is a potential deal there. Get them either an offer in the mail or get them on the follow-up letter. And I mentioned this last week. I'll mention it again. But let's say you talk to somebody. Let's say somebody calls in and they leave a voice message, and then you call them three or four times and they do not respond. Okay, you just can't get them back on the phone. Get them on the follow-up letter, right? You're not necessarily the point to make them a written offer because they're not responding, but at the very least, get them on the follow-up letter, because the chances are they'll call you back and you'll re-engage with them. They'll appreciate the follow-up. Nobody else in this industry does that, except the people who are making a lot of money, and you beat your competition. So, anything else there, Chris, before we open up?
That is it. That's all I had to say.
All right. I'm going to open up and unmute the line. You can always press *5, by the way, if you want to put up your hand. I'm going to unmute the line. Again, if you have any background noise, just for respect for everybody else, maybe you can mute your own line on your end. All right. Here we go. All right. Everyone's unmuted. Anybody have a specific question they want to ask Chris or myself? And just as a note, Patrick, I muted you because I think we had some background noise. I don't know if you're on a computer, but Patrick, if you want to ask a question, you'll have to press *5. Any questions for Chris or myself?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, who's this?
This is John in Memphis.
Hey, John, how are you?
For either one of you. Good. How about you guys?
Good. Terrific.
If a lead in Podio is marked dead, does that take him off the STL mailing list?
No. No, and that's by design. The only time that somebody's coming off of your direct mail is when you go to that little direct mail field and you click remove from STL mailing. So any leads that come in that get processed by the VAs, they could get marked as dead. They could get marked as not interested. They could get marked as removed from mailing, where the voicemail, somebody said, they give an angry message and they him and holler or whatever, and the VA is marked removed from mailing. You still will need to look at that and actually click remove from STL mailing. And Chris and I talked about that many months ago, and we want to make sure, Chris, I don't think you've ever removed anybody from a mailing in history, have you?
I did not. I don't mail anybody. I don't remove anybody. I just keep on sending them postcards because it's too much of a pain to remove them. It's easier now with STL, but in general, I've never removed anybody from the mailings. So I just keep on sending them. And I've gotten some angry calls in the past. Believe me, I can have a full folder in my computer with very angry calls, but I just keep on sending them the mail. But if you really have somebody, it's interesting is on those dead leads too. We actually the last couple of weeks we've gotten some really good leads from dead leads. We have an acquisitions person now in Miami but we had a previously an acquisitions person that had left. And there were a lot of leads that were dead previously from the original person. And the VAs had some downtime, and we said, hey, could you go back and go through those old dead leads? And, we've been able to resurrect quite a few of them. Many of them that were dead, all of a sudden, 6 months, 8 months later, their pricing has changed. Now they're $20,000 less, which allows us to reconsider the property. So I would say even if, marking them as dead, always be careful of that, because many times their situation and circumstances change.
Yeah, for sure. I'll tell a quick little story, and then John, if you have more questions, let you ask them. But I got a call from a gal by the name of Cheryl Twitty. I recorded the call, so at some point here over the next week or two, I'm going to release it and let everybody hear it. But Cheryl, very, very disorganized. She would even say she's, disorganized on the follow-up. And I really pushed her on follow-up and just, kind of getting a tighter system in place. Well, anyway, she actually has taken 4 months off. She ended up getting a seller to call. She had a call, and she goes, hey, I wanted to let you know I'm taking 4 months off. Her and her husband, we're going to travel to Europe, and they've just made $150,000 cash net and decided they wanted to take some time off. But Cheryl got a call from a seller, and the seller said, hey, Cheryl, I wanted to let you know I've decided to sell to you. I've got 5 houses that I want to sell to you, and by no means are you the best offer, not even close, but I wanted to let you know that your professionalism and your follow-up is amazing, and I just knew that I wanted to sell these houses to you. And so I recorded that from Cheryl, and I just thought, again, it is, nobody else does this. The follow-up is absolutely key, and the consistency. And I think I've shared this once before a few months ago, so I don't want to sound like a broken record, but when you have some time and you're on the internet, go type Gerald Gerard, Guinness Book of World Records. So this guy was sold 13,000 cars, Ford, I think he was Ford or Chevrolet, and he was the Guinness Book of World Record holder for sales of anything. And his technique was, he basically, every person that he ever met, he sent a little card to on a monthly basis. And it was a personalized card. I think he had like a team of 20 people, 20 VAs, and they basically just wrote a little custom card to everybody. And he never said anything really about that was salesy. It was just a follow-up, a personalized message. He'd talk to somebody, he'd find out something about them, and then he'd send something personal, and it worked. So that's all we're doing, is we're basically, we got a farm, we got prospects, and we're getting those prospects to put up their hand, and then we're just interacting. And, we're not winning on price, right? We're buying properties at a discount. And so, we're winning on other things, and follow-up is key. So, John, any other questions you have for us?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Cool. All right, next. Who has a question?
Hi, Gary.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing? It's Marty. Chris.
Hey, Marty.
How are
you? Hey, Marty. How are you?
Okay. I want to ask you, I have a lot of leads from a different marketing I was doing in the past, and I was wondering, I love the way, this follow-up and the pre-sale, all that stuff. I think if I could just move these leads into your program, I might get some bites from them. So my question is, how do I go about doing that?
Couple ways of doing it. This is probably good for everybody. So a couple ways.
I can put them on an Excel spreadsheet, I guess.
Yeah, two ways to do it. Let me give it to you. I probably need to build a video. Chris, if you could take a note.
Okay.
Since I'm away, we should do this. All right. Two ways to do it. If it's just a few leads, what you would do is go into Podio, into the seller lead module and click add lead so you can add a new lead. And what we need, when you add a lead, we need the seller name and we need the property address. We need the mailing address and, you know, then of course the price, et cetera. So you add it as a new lead and then what you would want to do is click, you know, add the property address, add the seller name, and if you can, pull a request report and add it. If you want the VA to do that, you can go into the comments. You can either create a task or go into the comments, and the particular person that does the lead processing to pull comps is VA-lead processor, and you could have them pull the comps for you if you'd like. We need the APN number. That's why. We need the mailing address because if we're going to send it to an owner, we need to have their property address to put on the contract. We need their name, and then we need the mailing address. The mailing address is typically on the RealQuest report. Okay? So you can do that. I'll build a video. I'll get a video loaded onto Podio this next week on how to do it. Okay? If you got a whole bunch of leads, let's say you got 20 or 30 that you want to actually get pre-sale letters, build a spreadsheet, just create a spreadsheet, and you want the seller name, and you want the property address, the mailing address, and preferably the APN number and the price, and you can email that over to support@salesteamlive.com and ask them to send pre-sale letters on that. We'll probably have a little bit better process via a video of how to do that, but that's pretty easy for us to do. I think we had Zeke in Texas, and he had he had 30 or 40 or 50 people, and I would strongly encourage everybody. Just you brought up a really good point, Marty. If you've got old leads from other sources, the best leads you'll ever have are the people you've already talked to. So I would go back to just talk to somebody last night. And we were just chatting. They had leads from, 9 months, 12 months ago. And I said, go back to all those leads and revisit them, all the people that you've talked to. And if they still have a house, you should continue to work those. And you'll probably find good fruit. We actually picked up a deal. Chris mentioned it. We had a guy, we haven't talked to him in 8 months. It was from a lead pool that we haven't actually worked. We had the VAs, our team, our internal team go back out. And we got a guy that we basically are picking up his property today for $98,000. And we'll probably wholesale it. This is in Florida. We'll probably wholesale it and make somewhere between $35,000 and $40,000. So at least that's our estimate. Would you agree with that, Chris?
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Yeah. So that was from 8 months ago, and the lead just got untouched. So the lead, the thing is, these people, it's not like you have to go get a new mailing list. These people are absentee owners. They've owned the property, for 100 years, and they're most likely free and clear, right? And if they haven't sold the property, they're still a target. So that would be a recommendation.
Right. Actually, I was even looking just to put them in the loop of the getting postcards.
You can do that too?
Yeah, not even the pre-sale. So I guess I would just, I got a bunch. I guess I'll put them on an Excel spreadsheet and then send it to support and ask you guys to put it on my on the initial postcard.
Yeah, we can do that. I got a better. Have you talked to these people before, Marty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I would say 50-50.
Here's what I would do. Here's what I would do. I wouldn't send a postcard to them. If you've already talked to them, or they've called you in the past, even if, let's just say they called you and left a voice message, I would send them the follow-up letter. I would get them on the follow-up campaign because the follow-up letter is going to say, hey, we spoke recently about buying your property. We're not sure if your options have changed. I'm not sure if your other options have changed, but we're still interested in buying the property. Call me, preferably within the next 3 to 5 days. And then your name and your phone number, they'll call you direct. And then there's a PS that says, if your house is not for sale, please let us know. And that should, one out of three of those that you mail, you should get a call. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you're going to take that spreadsheet, I would say, hey, can you put these people on the follow-up letter? That would be a better thing than sending them an offer. I wouldn't necessarily give them an offer. If you haven't talked to them in a long time, then I would I would get them back on the phone first. And we're not we typically are not driving those people to a pre-recorded message. The people on the follow-up letter are people we send an offer to. You want to get those directly to you. And our team knows how to do that. So.
Well, you know, so some of these guys I haven't spoken to in over a year. So, you know, because it was kind of like a dead lead, it wasn't going anywhere, but it would be interesting to just to liven it up again and see what happens.
Follow-up letter, for sure.
Yeah, we'll follow up or just even send them a postcard just to say, hey, listen, if you're still interested, I've been trying to reach you and, you know, reach out to me and see if I get any bites that way too. But I guess I would break it down to three types for pre-sale, follow-up, and maybe some postcards.
Yeah.
So I'll break it down to those three types.
Just to, you know, get in the weeds a little bit here, though, Marty, I wouldn't send them a postcard. I wouldn't send them a postcard. If you talk to these people, I don't care if you talked to them 2 years ago. I'd send them a follow-up letter.
Okay.
The postcard should get them to call for the very first time. And then the follow-up letter should be a continued. One of the reasons why is you get a higher response rate. It's more personal. You should get a 35 to 40% response rate off of the follow-up letter. You know, a postcard, it's a hit or miss, right?
Right.
So if you've got people that are, you know, someday maybe there's a potential of any sort, I'd put them on the follow-up.
Okay.
Chris, would you agree?
Yeah, I would definitely agree on that, on the follow-up.
Okay.
Yeah, postcards, if you, let's say you're driving down the street, and you see what we call high weed. You see a property that looks like a junker and there's no, you know, beat up cars out there. That's,
mm-hmm.
Those are the ones, and you've never talked to them before. Those are the ones I'd get on a postcard. And then somebody that you've had any kind of conversation. I mean, even if they left a message and you can't get them back on the phone, I'd get them on a follow-up.
Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, there was some probates I was working on a while ago, and, you know, from about 50 names, well, there were 50 names that I did not get a response from, and I'm thinking, I mean, even though probate is, I don't know if you would mix and match the program with that, but even, but these probate people are still potential sellers. And so since I never really heard from them, I thought maybe I'd just hit them with a postcard and see if that kind of shakes them up a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes I find that with a probate, hitting them with a postcard that basically, you know, you're coming at them as if you don't even know they're in probate. You know, if somebody knows that you're contacting because somebody passed away, then they might kind of say, well, gee, you're coming after us only because you know that somebody passed away versus, you know, with a regular postcard, it's just, you're just, you know, targeting somebody that wants to sell a house and then happens to be probate, you kind of stay dumb and say, oh, I didn't know that. Sorry, my condolences, but I'd definitely be interested in buying the property if you're looking to sell it. So I would do a postcard.
Well, Chris, let's have the dialogue real quick and just see if you still agree. I wouldn't send a postcard to probate. I would send the yellow letter. And I would also, the postcards typically are going out every 60 to 90 days. The yellow letter would go out every 30 days. If you're mailing to probate, that's the one list that I would send a handwritten yellow letter. And we actually have members in the REI Vault group that we're doing this for. We don't really announce it to everybody, but let's say you have a probate list. It's typically small. You can just email that to support at Sales Team Live. And they set up the probate campaign. It's 8 yellow letters that go out. It's super simple. It basically says, you know, dear, you know, whoever the executor is, whoever the person is that's the executor or trustee, what have you, executrix of the property, we need the property address and we need the mailing address. And then we send them a yellow letter. And by the way, don't send, I strongly encourage, we've probably mailed over the last 10 years 100 or 200 or 300 different types of marketing pieces, every possible combination to that probate list. And the one that is always outperformed by a long shot is the handwritten yellow letter. You don't want a, you know, sorry about your condolences or our condolences or any of that nonsense. It's just a simple probate letter. Here's the deal with probate, Marty, since you asked me. The probate, typically the executor doesn't do anything until the creditors start calling and threatening lawsuits. And so that's why we do once a month, because what will happen is a property in probate, nobody does anything until they get motivated when the creditor letters and the court dates start to come closer. And that's why we hit them once a month with a yellow letter. And that works. You'll probably end up, you know, averaging anywhere from a 10 to 15% response rate on the yellow letter. And we can do that for everybody. You just have to have your marketing list in Excel. It's probably 50 to 150 names or whatever. And then you just email that to support at Zelle Team Live, and they can get it all set up for you. And we also put that into a different Podio application. We create something called Probate Leads. And then anybody that calls off of that, those will go into that probate bucket, managed and processed exactly the same way as before. You just, you know, you wouldn't be looking at the seller leads that have all these absentee owners. You just have the probate leads. It would be exactly the same.
Okay.
Does that help?
That'd be great if you guys put together a little video for all that stuff. And, you know, that'd be good for me. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Chris, now that I've stated that, are you in agreement? Or in disagreement?
I like the idea, but I'm in disagreement only because it sounds better than my idea. So I would recommend that you go with Gary's idea, only with an asterisk, because it is a better idea.
Yeah. By the way, anybody, the probate, if you don't know where to go get probate leads, you know, it's a small list, but I think one of the best probate providers is a guy by the name of Mark Van Dyke. He's at probate, I think it's probate-goldmine.com. And you can email, you got to track him down. Sometimes you have to email him four or five times. You go to his website, but Mark's wholesaling. He's a friend of mine, and he's a little hard to track down. He doesn't charge that much money, but you could get that list if you wanted. Anyway, that's what I got to say about that. All right. Did I answer your question, Marty? Anything else?
Yes. No, that's good.
Awesome. Chris, is that your background noise?
Yes, that's my background noise. Sorry.
How are you doing? You're making, let me guess, you're making your bulletproof coffee, aren't you?
No. Not quite, but I do have other pills that I'm popping as we're doing the call.
Oh, goodness. Chris,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you guys know of any good skip tracing sites?
Can you repeat that?
Do you guys know of any good or cheap, I would say, skip tracing sites for the vacants or the return mail?
Yeah. The best place to get skip tracing is Accurint, and that's a division of LexisNexis. That's Accurint.com. I think it's Accurint.
Yeah.
I always get that wrong. You got to go through an application. Is this Dale?
Yeah.
Hey, Dale. You got to go through a little bit of an application process. You got to have a business, and they want to make sure that you know, that you got a mailing address and all that stuff. So there's a little bit of jumping through hoops, but that's the best site for skip tracing. It's not
leads?
Even, yeah.
Would you know the cost on per lead?
I don't know. I haven't used them in a long time. It's on our list. Chris and I, for our own internal team, have it for 2015. But Chris, do you have anybody else that you'd recommend?
I recently came across, but I have no idea, somebody recommended a site called MicroBuilt, but it's spelled B-I-L-T, so Micro, M-I-C-R-O. B-I-L-T, B as in boy, so B-I-L-T, microbuilt.com. It's something that was recommended to me, but I don't know. I don't have any information about it, unfortunately. So it's not something that I can directly, I can say that it but somebody was doing script tracing successfully using that site. So, but I'm not really sure what the requirements are, et cetera. I haven't had the opportunity to look into it yet.
Yeah. I'd ask this, Dale, if you can look into Microbuild or Accurint or anybody else out there that's got a good, credible site that you've been using with good success, if you could email suggestionbox@reivault.com, that'd be awesome. Any recommendations like that, then we can provide that out to everybody else.
Because I've heard of one that is actually using a built-in investor, but I mean, the cost per search is very expensive. It's like $25 each skip trace, and that was, I believe, find the seller now.com.
Yeah, I remember Accurint. I haven't used Accurint. I used to buy a lot of houses off of Accurint. They were like a flat fee of $75, and then they were like 25 to 50 cents a name on the lookup.
Okay.
And it was extremely, extremely accurate. Accurate.
Okay.
That was awesome. I think they charge more now.
And also, I think because of privacy and everything else here, all of them in general are more stringent on just letting anybody sign up for their service, right?
Yeah. Not only that, most of the people charging $25 a name, if you look at the report they were providing, it was an accurate report. So they were, you know, they were paying 50 cents for the lookup, and they were charging $25 for the service. So, you know, ideally, I'd love it if some of you out there in the group, if you've got any information, if you're using any service, if you could just let us know, because that would be really awesome for all of us to get our head around the right site. It would be really good for vacants, for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and Accurint was awesome because you could type in a person's name. It would show you, like, neighbors. It would show you friends and relatives. It would have, like, a tree structure. And so we bought a bunch of houses. This is in the previous market, but we'd find a vacant house off of the direct mail, you know, the ones that come back and say undeliverable or vacant, and we type the person's name, and we find a brother or sister in Las Vegas and call them, and you know, it was a very good hit rate if we could get a hold of one of the family members or friends.
That's the way that I actually looked up. That's the way they advertise how the data actually comes back from them, where either you get the phone number, a close relative, and, you know, that sort of thing. But, I mean, for $25 per lead, I mean, that gets pretty costly.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily – it's a return on investment, too. It's like, how many of those – what's the number? If you had to look up 10 people or 15 or 20 people per house, right, you're paying $25 a piece. Who cares? It could – you know, if it was $500, if the service was $500, right, for one name, but you bought a house every time you did it, its cost of acquisition is $500. I wouldn't necessarily look at the cost. I'd look at the conversion rate. Right?
Okay.
It's the same way. If people call and they say, hey, what's the cost? Like a pre-sale, it's like $5.95. It's like, yeah, but if you're able to send 10 of those out, you're buying a house for $600 or $60. Sorry, right? It's all about the conversion rate.
Okay, got it.
Cost per deal. Cool. What else? Who else has a question for us?
Gary, hey, this is Jim in North Carolina.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing great.
Good. What would you – we've got several leads that we haven't been able to have the time to get in contact with. Like over 300 that we haven't called back yet.
Okay.
Any recommendations? It seems like we get on the phone with them and we spend sometimes, you know, 20, 30 minutes on the phone. And it takes forever to get all the calls keep up with them. Any recommendations on that?
Chris? I do. What would you say, Chris? Chico.
Jim, I'm sorry. Do you have any information about these people, or are you calling them to actually gather information such as property address so that you could do the research on them, et cetera?
This is I believe I saw it on the back end. I created like a seller leads model in Podio. Mm-hmm. And so there's like 355 on that they've already called in, and we've got the number or the address or some information on them.
So you're calling back to your purpose of the call, at the time you call them, do you have their address, do you have their real quest code, or you're calling to get that information so you can at least do the research and determine if you're a deal or not?
Right. Yes, we have the information, and we're calling them back to go over it and judge their motivation and go from there.
Okay. And now you said that every call takes about 30 minutes. When you say that, is it what makes a call be that long? In other words, is it just hard to get these people off the phone, or are you having a hard time? Tell me about the call. What is it that...
A lot of it is, building rapport with them, and I don't know if it's our mindset or what, but, and we live in the South, so that probably hinders us a little bit.
I would say that, my opinion in general is that if you got that many leads, everything is relative, right? So if you have, if you only have three or four leads, then you're more, a handful of leads, you're more likely to try to spend time as much as you can on the phone with them, et cetera. And so if I had that many leads, then I would be very, you're our building rapport. I think that most people, I think rapport is built implicitly. Rather, it's not because of a conversation you have about they like fishing or various other topics, but I think rapport is built by them feeling that, hey, you're someone that has authority, you sound confident, you sound like you know what you're doing, and you're there to figure out if it's something that that would work for them, if this is something that would be a mutually beneficial transaction. And so just the big picture would be that, I'd be working off a script. I would be just saying, hey, this is Chris. About the postcard, great, terrific. Hey, just want to confirm a couple bits of pieces of information. Maybe that might take a couple minutes and say, terrific. But based on the numbers and the properties that we're currently being offered, by other sellers in the area, it looks like we can do a price point of this for the property. Is that something you consider? And I would just, get right into a number initially when you got that many leads, because you need to figure out of all those leads, there's a certain number of them that are viable. And if somebody's, if it's not viable, then you got to get on with the next one. Sometimes it means cutting people off. People like to talk. And I think there's a certain amount of uncomfortable, if you could be sitting there waiting for the opportunity to kind of cut them off so you can continue on and get and follow along the conversation. But sometimes they just talk, and then they never give you that opportunity. And so I'm one to just jump right in there and said, if they're talking, I might just say, hey, I don't mean to interrupt you. I got another call that I got scheduled right after yours, and I want to make sure that I get to cover the information here so we can make a determination of, hey, if it worked, if us working together is something that we can do. Are you having an issue with getting to the point and getting people, keeping people on track, and thus the conversation wanders off and it takes forever to get them back on track?
That's a lot of times that's some of it, sure.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I think it's just working off a script. I'd love to hear what Gary has to say, but that's my approach is a bit more harsher than Gary's. I want to know, what do you got?
There's a process and the mechanics, and then there's the stylistic art of actually being on the phone. I would agree. I think you're at a point, Jim. I think you're at a point where you need a dedicated inside sales machine that does nothing but talking on the phone and calling hangups, calling leads, and just forwarding the momentum and teeing up the deals to somebody on your staff. Chris and I like the Philippines. We like to have somebody because they're not very expensive. And you do have to interact with them. There's a process for that. You know, like Chris and I, we do a 20-minute huddle call every single day at 12:40 Eastern. We actually have a call. And so we have somebody that's dedicated that does nothing but talking to these leads and asking them a few questions. They're scripted. So that's I think you really need that. The second thing is somebody needs to go through all 300 of those leads. I would use the tag. This is the mechanical. By the way, Chris, I think you got a lot of static on yours. I don't know. I think it's your line.
Let me see. Hold on. Okay.
Yeah. Hold on, everybody. Okay, I think it's yours, Chris. The mechanical part and the process part, Jim, I would in Podio, at the bottom, in the seller lead, there's a field called tag. And I think somebody quickly needs to spend an hour or two and look at every single lead and tag it. And you should tag it like hot, warm, cold, and then on fire. That's what I would do.
Gotcha.
Okay? Hot, warm, cold, on fire, so you can segment those 300. And then I would go back to the on fire. What's on fire means there's a deal here, just off of the words, or, you know, you might not have a lot of those. But if you got 300 sellers that have left messages, what do you think? You got probably got 10 deals there. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
So it's totally worth jumping on them. So I would tag them first, and then I would work them in that order of hot, you know, on fire first, then the hot, then the warm, then the cold. And I would also
that way. Right.
I'd prioritize them. The next thing I would do is I would warm them up with a phone call, and then I would say, okay, of the 300, I've probably got 150 that I want to do something with, and I get a minimum of 150 either on a follow-up or make an offer, and work to get them an offer in hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, even if you didn't, if it were me and I didn't have a lot of staff, I would probably segment the list. I would say, okay, of the 300, I want to make 150 offers, and I would get an offer in hand. I would just, for me, I wouldn't even call them. I would stick, you know, put them on a follow-up and give them a financial number.
Gotcha.
You know, it's a numbers game. If you had 150 people and you're paying $6, you got $750. Do you think, you know, it's a numbers game. You got to get at least two contracts back, or at least somebody that's going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I got your offer. What is this? Why'd you send it to me? Who are you? That's a great conversation to have.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. But I do think that you're at a point. I've seen your Podio. I know what you guys are doing. I'd get an inside sales rep dedicated to do this activity for you. And that role is just they're not necessarily making offers yet, but they are working on a script and calling the seller. It's like, hi, I'm calling on behalf of Jim, and you called a while back off of a note. I'd never say postcard or letter. I'd always say the word note in the mail about a property that you were thinking of selling at 123 Main Street. And if you have any notes on them, if they say that they're a daughter of Mr. Jones, and just say, you know, you left a message that you're the daughter of Mr. Jones, right? You're trying to build instant credibility and rapport, and see, you know, if they've considered or had any more thought about selling their house, and then, you know, once they say, you know, hey, if they say yes, then, you know, go down, ask them a few questions about the property. Doesn't matter what they say. You just, if they're opening up and telling you a little bit about the property, if there's a certain point in time that you kind of say, well, gosh, if we were able to offer you all cash offer to buy it right now, what's the lease you'd take? And away you go.
Right, right.
And then they pass them over to you, or they pass them over to you, or your sales guy.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. That's yeah. That would certainly speed the process up. We can concentrate on the hot ones, and the other ones we can just shoot an offer to.
Yeah. The great motivator for all this is if you say I got 300 leads and you got 10 potential deals over the next 60 to 90 to 100 and even 180 days, and you're averaging 10 grand a deal. I know you guys make more than that, but 10 grand a deal and you got 10 deals, you got 100,000 bucks in profit. It's like, okay, time to get on these.
Yeah, that is a motivator.
You know, it's
awesome.
It's really just a numbers game, and I would throw some resources at it. And whoever's on the phone, if you got somebody that's, you know, I know you guys are in the South, and you guys love to chat about, you know, about, I'm just making fun of you. I'm the California
right.
guy.
Right.
But, you know,
whatever.
It's, and then whoever you have on the phone, again, I would have a call every morning, and, you know, it's let's talk about the, you know, who'd you talk to, and how many calls did you have yesterday, and what do you got for me? We did that this morning.
Awesome. Awesome. And that's kind of the structure of y'all's huddle call?
Yeah. The huddle call is 20 minutes every single day, and then once a week we have a forecast call. The forecast call is profit that we're targeting this month, and then the activity, you know, where we are against that profit number. So it's like, hey, we're trying to do $50,000 in sales, which is 5 closed deals and 10 properties under contract at $10,000 a deal, and kind of where we are, you know, against that. And it's not – when we have these calls, it's specific about the deals and the numbers. So when we're all talking about deals, we're not talking about, oh, these leads suck and I don't have any leads. It's about, you know, tell me about the specific seller. You know, what did Mr. Jones
right.
say, and when is he going to close? And we kind of discuss kind of what the strategy is for the next step.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then the huddle call on the daily basis, we usually have any action items from the previous day. Because we're always tracking, there's always action items, right? A seller needs to be called, or we're going to get a contract out to this guy, or we got to work on what the offer is going to be. And we kind of go through action items from the previous day. We close those off. We have some accountability, and then we say, okay, what are the wins and sucks? You know? A win is I finally got a hold of Mr. Jones, and he's ready to talk to us about buying his house. And then a stuck might be, typically the stuck is, hey, we're trying to figure out getting an offer to this guy, or we're trying to figure out when we can get out to see his house. It's always forwarding towards getting these deals across the line. Chris, anything
right,
else you want to add to that?
Moving forward.
Yeah.
Just, I have AC in the background. That's why. The only comment is that, I mean, for right now, though, I mean, do you have all these leads, but do you have a certain amount of time per day that you're committed to calling them? Or have you started that process or no?
Yeah, we do. I believe it's Tuesdays and Thursdays from, 6 to 9 is what it is now.
Okay, when you're actually when you're able to call them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what? The only comment I would is that whatever you're doing now, I'll go back to what I said before. I would say, let's say if whatever the way you're approaching them now and is causing those conversations to go for 30 minutes, go the opposite direction. Try you know, a lot of it is mindset. Try going through a few calls where you're really trying to stick with the script. You're trying to keep them on track. You're trying to get that information. You're trying to move things along quickly to try and figure out if that's a deal or not a deal. And many times we think, well, gee, you may find that, hey, you know what, I can get the same amount of information without the fluff just by being a little bit more aggressive on the call and making sure that I keep them on track and test being more that way versus letting them, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing I would call. Because you got a lot of calls, and, you know, based on what you're telling me, if they take 30 or 20 minutes each one, you'll never get through those. I mean, we'll, you know. You'll be in January 2015 and you'll still be calling them. So I think you got to be more aggressive with them and just try to get, you know, you got to get through them. They have this, you know, if there's a deal there, eventually if you take too long, somebody else is going to get it.
Right. Awesome. Wonderful. I appreciate it, y'all. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
Great, Jim.
Great.
Silence is a great thing.
Yeah.
I do that with sellers, by the way. There's nothing like, yeah. You know, talking to sellers, you know, 70% should be listening. And there's nothing like talking to a seller and then just being silent for 10 seconds. It's amazing what will happen.
Right.
Some of the sellers will immediately say, well, what kind of offer can you give me for the house? Try that, Jim.
That's a great offer.
I literally have a little timer on your desk, a little on your iPhone or whatever, and basically click the button and force yourself to have silence for 10 or 15 seconds. It's amazing what happens on the other phone. The seller will immediately like, okay, can you give me 80 grand?
Yeah, that would speed them up.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys, quick question. This is Brantley. I'm with Jim. Do you guys, you buy sight unseen on the houses?
Well, I would qualify that and say we put properties on the contract sight unseen.
Okay.
Right, so, I mean, we look at the Google Street View.
That's not totally true. We actually we sort of go on site by clicking a button and looking at the property on Google Street View.
Yeah, we'll Google Street View. That's pretty much it. And then we send the buyers out to the property. You know, so when you ask that question, do you feel that you need to go look at them, or is it something that where people are asking you that?
Well, no, I mean the reason I ask is because. You know, when I'm making the calls and he's right, Jim's right. I spend 15, 20, sometimes 30 minutes on the phone, just trying to build rapport. And I guess we need to change and do a little bit quicker because we do have so many leads. But you know, I look at it like we have the numbers. We need to do more leads. But I've been able to get 4 or 5 0% interest owner finance deals from building rapport with people and at 30%. Value to the property. I mean, we bought a commercial property that I was able to get on a finance that 0% and zero interest just because I built rapport and followed up. But, you know, on the other hand, we do have a ton of leads that are just sitting there and we need to get them, grab them and get a hold of them. So I usually do, and I guess that's a mistake I'm making, I usually do set appointments to go look at the properties and talk with these people.
I understand what you're doing. You know, you might you're going to have to figure out the sweet spot a little bit.
It's a compromise game because I think it's like if you could go to every single seller and meet with them face to face and shake their hand and go belly to belly with them. Yes, obviously that would be the ideal situation, right? But the fact is that it's not the ideal situation because of the amount of leads you have. And so is it possible that by you not meeting with certain sellers face-to-face, belly-to-belly, that they're not going to do business with you or you're not going to get the deal? It's possible, But is it possible that you'll get more deals in the long run by being able to go through all of them, by being more aggressive on the phone and not seeing every single property? In the end, yes, you might lose some, but would the net gain be better? All right? So that really is the question. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. Well, I mean, the reason we're here with you guys is because y'all are very successful, and yeah, we want to be successful as well. So, I mean, we're open like a sponge to the wisdom, and we just need to change our game up then.
One thing you could try is go segment your 300 leads. I'd do this as a test because I actually think you'll find a sweet spot doing this. I'd go through the 300 leads and identify maybe 100 to 150 and maybe just make them a cash offer. Get them a cash offer in the mail, whether you talk to them or not, because you're going to let 2 or 3 months go by before you jump on them. So make them a cash offer and then reach back out to them with the idea of an owner finance deal. I know you guys do a lot of owner financing and you're picking up deals that way, but maybe try making a cash offer and then following back up, either the ones that accept or the ones that call back in, and then segment, you know, for the ones that you might come in. Because if you offer cash, it's usually a lower price. You come in with $20,000 or $15,000 more with, you know, owner carry back, right?
Yeah, most definitely. I think I've done a couple notes where we have sent out contracts where I've talked to somebody, and I'll put in there, hey, we'll pay $30,000 cash, but we'll pay, you know, $55,000 if they carry back 100% owner financing at 0% interest.
Yep.
We've been able to do a lot of neat things with that, man. I mean, again, this is a model that we need to change our mind on, but we've been able to have people carry back owner financing and hold back 6 months before their first payment was due.
Right. So, no, we're testing out a little bit. This is a little premature. I've chatted with a few of you about this, but Chris and I are testing it right now. We're making a cash offer and then coming back in with a little higher price where the seller is flexible on terms.
That's excellent.
Yeah, so I like the same thing. I think most of these sellers like cash offers on the front end and then come back in with a sort of, you know, an opportunity to make them a higher price offer. I'll tell you, what I've seen is sometimes you'll get the seller motivated. They like the higher price, right? It creates the dialogue so you can get down to business and get them committed to selling. Some of these sellers at the very last minute will change their mind and take the all cash offer too. I've seen that a lot.
Yeah,
right? So you come in at 100 grand, you change it up, you offer them 20 grand more with, you know, creative financing, and then at the 11th hour they go, you know what, I'll go ahead and just take the 100 grand. And it was a deal that they would never have accepted 3 or 4 weeks before, but it's the fact that they now have the mindset that they want to sell. But I'd test it out.
Yeah, we're going to do it, man, most definitely. I mean, that's we're fixing to meet here in a minute, and I'll put our minds together. So we'll roll on with that deal and follow up with you and let you know how everything goes.
Yeah, do that. Let's keep posted on that because it would be great to roll out. As soon as we get that little process in place, roll it out for a few others, the rest of us in our group. We'll kind of keep it amongst the vault, right?
Most definitely.
Keep our little secrets within our internal group here. All right, everybody, we're at the end of the hour, and great call. Thanks for all the interaction. Have a great week, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. Have a great one.
Have a great one, everybody.